Chuck Chat Freestyle for August 24th, 2014. This is the Dog Days of Podcasting, and Freestyle is an audio diary of my life. Dog Days of Podcasting can be found at dogdaysofpodcasting.com, where you will find this and many other podcasts participating in the monthly challenge for the month of August. 30 podcasts, a podcast a day keeps the doctor away, whatever it happens to be. I have a little bit of listener feedback. Wow, I don't know when the last time we had listener feedback on Freestyle was, but listener Mark with a C listened to, I think it was the first episode, these might even be both for the same show. Well, I was driving up Lisa on Thursday with going up and delivering her to college. Mark said that was very touching, and Brady almost got him crying. So I'm glad it was very emotional for you as well. And Mark with a K says, I told him that Lisa had a Subaru. I should talk more about the Subarus at some point, but I'm not going to on this one. And said, once you have a Subaru, they're very hard to find at a dealership because people like to just leave them in their will to family members and things. It's very hard to find one on the open market. So I will talk more about DragonCon stuff, possibly during this conversation. I have Julie with me. Hi, Julie.
Hello.
I didn't want to let the whole summer go by and the whole Dog Days of Podcasting go by without getting Julie on at least one Freestyle, since she used to be such a part of Technorama until she went off to college.
Yeah.
And this is probably one of our only opportunities. This may be the last opportunity we have to record in this house, and we are in what used to be the studio. Can you describe what's left of the studio?
There are two very small glass desks, one office chair, and a stool.
So the only resemblance between this and the former studio, aside from, well, the walls have been painted, the carpet's the same, we still have Mom's 27-inch iMac and the printer, but her desk is gone. My laptop and a monitor. There's no couch. There's no desk. You can still see shadows of things on the floor where the desks and stuff used to be. So
you can probably hear the absence of all the furniture and the echoiness.
Yes, it's very echoey in here. That's why we had like blankets on the walls over the posters and foam on the walls to kind of deaden the sound. And even that, I could still tell there was a little. But hey, as a tribute to the former Binary Studio North, or what will eventually be somebody's bedroom, I suspect, maybe an office at some point. So, Julie, what did we do today?
We took the cats for a ride.
Why?
We had an open house, so we had to get everybody out of the house, and we're also practicing to see how they will do on the long drive to Arizona.
You weren't with us for the first attempt, so tell us about this one. What happened?
The cats did not enjoy it very much. Todd was meowing the whole time, and Holly seemed calm, except she was like foaming at the mouth and dripping drool like a Saint Bernard.
That's pretty much what they did last time, only they were in the cage last time. This time they were wandering all around, and they'd come up and visit. You were riding in the passenger seat up front in the minivan. We have a Toyota Sienna. Mom was in the back, way back, because the middle seats are out so we can haul more cargo when we eventually go. And the back seats fold down flat. They're stow-and-go, or whatever they call them. So the cats would bounce between visiting Mom in the way back, sitting in the middle somewhere. Sometimes, where were they sitting?
They were sitting on top of their carriers and looking out the window.
And for a while, Todd quieted down for a little bit, right?
I think, from what you've told me, they were better than last time. They had some calm moments.
Yeah, they were a little better, and Holly started off okay. And I think once we got out onto the straight stretches, we took a county road, which turned into a Wisconsin highway, two-lane, pretty straight for about 20 miles or so, and then we got onto a four-lane interstate. And I was hoping that starting and stopping was, you know, if we kept it steady and straight and constant, it would be less stressful, but I don't think that really mattered. Did you?
I think they did a lot better once we got going, but it might have just been the time that passed between.
Could be. You also helped me with something today.
We practiced his Farnsworth walk for the convention.
See, part of cosplay is not just dressing up, but it's the body language, the style, the posture. Because when you look at a Jedi, they don't just stand there. They'll do the power position with the hands on the hips. Or Wonder Woman has to do the hands on the hips. I'm not dressing up as Wonder Woman this time. But if I were, that's how I would stand. Or a Jedi with their hand outstretched
force,
like their...
Force hand. Doctor Who with the sonic screwdriver pose.
Yeah, everybody's got to get their pose. So I'm trying to think of what Hubert Farnsworth's pose is. And it's really hard to hunch over like a cartoon old man. But I think I got it with Julie's help, with the hips forward and the neck, or the back, and not looking like you're sticking your rear out, but still have a turkey vulture neck kind of thing going on. That was fun. Thank you. And we also have, I think I mentioned this, Sunday night, Craig and I and Mark Kilfoyle and a couple other people are on a panel about the past, present, and future of podcasting. Now, Julie has been with podcasting since almost day one, right? Well, you started with Freestyle before it was even Freestyle back in late 2004, early 2005. I don't know if you knew I was podcasting in late 2004. I don't think it became known to the family. It's kind of like alcoholism.
Yeah, no, I did. I did. I knew. In sixth grade, I knew.
In sixth grade. And now what grade are you in?
15?
It's been 10 years. It's been... just say 10 years. You just started when you were... I remember you were 11 about the time we started, and now she's 21. So a generation has grown up on podcasting, if you want to put it that way. Ooh. And if you go back into the old archives of Freestyle, you might still find Julie's voice hanging around on a few shows. But she's also noted on Technorama as being a co-host in the last couple of years. Well, until she went to college. But still shows up in the summer once in a while. We'll have to figure out how we're going to do that. And, hey, if you come visit next summer, we're going to be in the new cool studio.
Ooh. Oh, with lots and lots of seats.
Seats and microphones. Yeah, it's a bit of an upgrade from what we've got now. I found an old picture when we first went to Mike Menengay's house in 2006, his old mixer and the old studio setup before he moved out and moved back in and rebuilt it. Because part of that panel, they want to run a slideshow of old podcast stuff. So they said, send us your old podcast rig and send us your old... Remember when we had the folding card table in here?
Yeah.
With the computers, and I'd have to kind of wire myself in because it took two or three computers and I have to go under and over. And oh, man, that was crazy. I hope I just sat there hoping I wouldn't have to go to the bathroom halfway through a show because it was difficult to get everything wired up. And I have a picture of us when we were making bread. Do you remember recording Making Bread podcast?
No, I don't remember that one.
You don't? Oh, I never released that. I recorded it but didn't like the way it turned out. But I have it recorded somewhere along with a few others that never released.
Was it like a how-to?
Yeah, I kind of gave the recipe. What I should really do is what Douglas E. Welch is doing right now and record a video of making that bread.
Yeah.
That would be better. There's a lot of things I'd like to redo, like all of the Gmail podcasts with screen capture stuff. That would be a lot more helpful. And it's crossed my mind. We'll have to see what I have time for when we get to Phoenix. So I sent all those photos to the guy, and we'll see which ones show up. There's some old Podcast Expo ones from 2005, 2006, 2007. I might even have a couple from 2008. There's people who aren't with us anymore. There's people who don't talk to each other anymore. There's people who... have slimmed down. There's people who've gotten bigger. Everybody seems to have changed sometime in the last 10 years, so that will be fun. The other thing I found, just another tick on the checklist, is I found my Breeze cards. Do you know what a Breeze card is?
Is that for toll roads?
Close. It's for the MARTA, the rapid transit system, the public transit system between the airport and the hotel in Atlanta. And this is a miracle that I even still have these, because last year, I remember buying them when we went, and they're rechargeable cards. So I said, I should really hang on to these, but I couldn't find them from 2012 to 2013. So last year when I went with Lisa, I purposely hung on to them, and I filed them in my file cabinet under the DragonCon folder with all of my badges. And the fact that they're still there, and that I can find them, because we have been moving every scrap of paper and everything in this house, and 90% of it or better is in a warehouse right now, or in mini storage. So these are out in the garage in a specifically known spot, and I found them. Now, it's only probably $1 to get new cards, but hey, I found them, and I was proud of my filing skills for finding those. Anything to add, Julie?
Nope.
You are going back to school when?
Thursday afternoon.
For what year of school?
My last one, senior year.
Woohoo! Yay. And tell the listener what you're going for those who don't listen to Freestyle regularly or Technorama, you are going for what?
Chemical engineering.
Super smart girl. Where?
Michigan Tech.
Go Huskies. And you have a boyfriend?
Yes.
Have you been talking to him?
Yes, we've been texting all summer.
And you have a slightly different living arrangement this year. You originally had dorm room when you were a freshman, dorm room when you were a sophomore. Did you have to do dorm room as a sophomore?
Yeah, 2 years. We had to live on campus.
Okay, on campus. And then last year was a different, well, I used different nicely, different situation. Tell us about your living arrangements last year.
Last year we had 9 people in a junky old house with 1 bathroom.
At one time, it was probably a beautiful...
It was. You could still see there was a big open living room. There was stained glass. There was a banister on the staircase. But since its glory days, it has fallen.
Well, what do you expect when you're rented out to college students for the last 50 years or so? It was more like a frat house in some respects. Plaster falling from the ceiling. Spiders in the basement. Those look nice. Didn't you have like a little creek or something running through the basement?
Yeah, there was like a gutter, a ditch for the water to run down in the spring because there was going to be flooding in the spring.
And this was carved into the stone.
In the cement. In the basement.
Yeah, so they obviously knew this is a problem. It has been going on for a while. Either that or the water has been doing this so long it eroded its own channel.
No way. It was built in. It's been doing that since the house was built. When you live on a hill.
It's on a hillside, so you're going to have some seepage and probably a natural spring in there somewhere. Look, we could bottle our own water and sell it now.
The house next to us seriously had a marsh in their backyard. They had a deck, so it was okay on that section, but they had a marsh.
Why would you ever want to leave that wonderful place?
Dishwasher, mainly the dishwasher.
Dishwasher. Okay, so now you have a dishwasher. Tell us more about where you are going. Is it another house?
We're moving into an apartment, or our house is splitting up into 2 apartments.
Okay, and who is in your section, house? What are you calling it? Your apartment. Who's in your apartment?
It's me, Will, Robert, and Mike. And Mike's not even there the first semester because he's on co-op. So we have 3 people instead of 9 now to 2 bathrooms. It's going to be crazy.
Sounds like you just moved up in the world. She's all excited to get back to school just for a dishwasher. We have a dishwasher here, you know, and we have a dishwasher in Phoenix.
I think you have 2 dishwashers in Phoenix?
Well, yes, 1 in the guest house. Very smart girl. Dang. Yes, we have a guest house, and that is where you will be coming to visit for Christmas, right?
Yes, going to have a warm Christmas.
We won't have any Thanksgiving visit, or we won't have any... Now, do you have plans to get together with your sister, who is 100 miles away from you?
Not yet.
Not yet, but maybe. Maybe you and her could go visit Grandma or something. Lots of family in that area, so even though Mom and Dad will be far, far away... Sounds like Shrek. You will have an aunt. No, I'm sorry, Lisa. Lisa has an aunt in town. She has grandmas and grandpas and all kinds of other cousins. But Julie, who do you have nearby?
Who? I give up.
Nobody? I don't know. Somebody said there was a Tomasi and Hancock, but we don't know if they're related or not.
There are 2 Tomasis, but I don't recognize either of the names. They must be like your second cousins or something.
Could be. If you can find out names, I'll see if I can find out who they are. Just look in the phone book or whatever. But you've been there long enough. You have your own circle of friends and whatnot. Lisa's just getting started. So we met her roommate. What's her name?
Madison.
Madison, very nice. And we did a little exploring of the campus yesterday. Was that yesterday? Saturday?
Saturday.
Yes. And we walked around to all of her classes. She thought they were very conveniently located. Oh, is that all? This one's right next to there, and that one's so close. And she seemed very excited about that whole thing. There was just one that was way down the hall in the new building. Were you there when she got mad at me?
F- For touching buttons.
Yes, I have to. It's my job. So there's a brand new building on campus, just built. It wasn't even completely open, called the new John X. Jamrich facility. The old Jamrich facility on the campus of NMU was getting a little old. It wasn't that old. I think it was built in the 60s, but it was built on a crummy lot and it was starting to settle. So there were cracks in the foundation, cracks in the walls, cracks in the roof. And the powers that be at NMU decided it was time to tear it down and build a new, more modern facility right next to and connected to the library, which is handy. So now you can go from a couple of science facilities through an underground tunnel to the library, connected to, I mean, most of the academic buildings are now connected. And in a wintry climate like Marquette, Michigan, it's very nice to be able to stay indoors as much as possible. So we're exploring the new building and saying, oh, you've got a class in 3319 and a class in whatever the rooms were. So we went into one of these lecture halls. I said, ooh, very nice. And I slipped into teaching mode because that's what my job is. Went behind the podium. And there was a little, I don't know, 7-inch LCD with one button that looked like a start button. So I hit start. I had to press the shiny button. I had to. And all of a sudden,
the red candy-like button.
Thank you for the Ren and Stimpy reference. How can he resist? Anyway, I pushed it, and what happened?
The projector started going down.
And Lisa got all upset. Dad, make him go back. And I couldn't because the screen immediately went to system starting up. Please wait. Meanwhile, the projectors are coming down eternally slow. Dad, stop it.
You're embarrassing Madison, and she's not even, you're not even her dad.
Score. My work here is complete. Make the kids' roommates and friends think I'm a complete moron and embarrass them in some way as if they were my own. So I guess that's a compliment of some type. I don't know. Eventually the screens came all the way down and the button went back to a menu that said power down or exit all or system shut down or something. I pressed that and they went back up. Eternally slow. So we left that too. I also found another ginormous lecture hall. This one looked more like a theater, a stage. And it had probably a seating capacity of a few hundred, maybe 300, 400. But in the middle was almost like a sound booth. You know where the mixer board would usually sit?
That's how I would describe it too. It was definitely for a sound.
Did you see that lecture hall?
Yeah.
Did you notice any sound equipment in that little booth?
No, it was just a table and a chair.
Yes, that's what I noticed too. It was more of a pit. There were a few like jacks. They weren't XLR jacks, but there was something almost like a big fat network jack or something. But there was nothing in it. I went, well, this seems kind of unfinished. Maybe they need to wire it for sound later or something. But I thought, being the nerd that I am, I had to go see where the sound equipment was.
And the control room up top was locked.
Oh, there was a control room?
Yeah.
And you checked?
I checked.
It's my daughter. We tried every door and every... The computer lab was open. Tell them what you saw in the quote-unquote computer lab.
Whole bunch of monitors.
Yeah, monitors on sort of desk tables as if there were two per student, or one per pair of students, right? And there were, maybe four islands, pairs of those. So you'll probably get 16, 20 people at the desks working on the monitors. And then on the back wall along the windows were maybe 20 more desktop CPUs. But it was odd because there was a podium with a microphone facing all these labs and a projector screen. But right in front of the projector screen was something odd.
Two plush brown couches.
And we're not sure what the couches were for, except those late nights when you're working on your senior project, maybe you slip in a DVD and watch Star Wars or something?
They're for resting. They're for breaks.
Breaks during your computer lab. We never had couches in my computer labs.
No, it might be a computer lab, like a lab, and you do computer things in it, in class, you know, like a lab class. But it might also be an unset up computer lab, like for using for general things.
I'm thinking it was more like a student lab, you know, where the computer equivalent of dissecting frogs. You know, take this computer apart and rebuild it. And what did you say?
What?
What the Marines would say.
Oh, this is my... They just have them take apart and put together the computers over and over. This is my computer. There are many like it, but this one is mine. Without my computer, I am nothing. Without me, my computer is nothing. Or something like that.
Gump, I have never seen anyone put together a computer that fast. You are a freaking genius. If there were a medal for putting computers together, you would win it. That was a bad Forrest Gump reference, but I like Julie's better. Yeah, it was a rather interesting lab, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was strange. Maybe it'll be built more. Maybe that's how it's supposed to be.
They also had something called a cluster lab. I don't know if you saw that. It was in that main corridor on the second floor. And do you know what a cluster is, aside from a royal screw-up of some type?
Just a group, a bunch? I don't know.
Yeah, it's when you can put two or three or more computers together to operate as one virtual machine so that if you have you can have a load spread across them. Or fault tolerance, so if one fails, the other goes up, or they can be running in parallel to handle the load.
I kind of wish that had been an option for us, because one of my friends had a project where they were building a robot, and it was a snow-sweeping robot. So they built a model in NX, and they're like, all right, now we're going to put the bristles on. So we have this one bristle, let's repeat it, you know, 3,000 times, and it took such a long time to render that.
Because you were rendering the bristles?
You couldn't cancel it either. It was like, oops, well, that's what my computer's going to do for the next 3 hours. Let's watch a movie.
Imagine if you had to render Scruffy. There's a lot of bristles on this broom. Now, we have been talking online with Craig and Clinton. I got my email saying we are officially at the end of the parade, which is right where we want to be for DragonCon. Woohoo! And we got the email about, so you have a vehicle, here's what you need to know. So I sent that off to Anthony, our driver, and he hasn't responded with any questions yet. But we've also been talking about, and if you've been listening to the Dog Days of Podcasting, you know Craig's building his holophoner because he's going as Fry, and Clinton is going as Scruffy, so Craig is buying Clinton a broom, which is what bristles made me think of. What were you building, a Scruffy bot?
No, it was a snow sweeper.
And what's the quote you always have from Scruffy?
Prison ain't so bad, he can make sangria in the toilet.
And the Farnsworth quote that I always seem to keep getting wrong is, we play the beginning of it on Technorama all the time. Bad news, nobodies. But Julie knows the rest of it.
The follow-up to bad news, nobodies, is the super collider super exploded. I need you to return it to IKEA in exchange for a wobbly CD rack and some of those rancid meatballs.
Those are my kids. My parents used to wonder how I remembered all the Bugs Bunny lines. You just got to watch them 8,000 times, I guess.
I can remember that, but not any of the stuff that I'm going to be studying this fall.
Like your credit card number?
Credit card. Yeah, I wish I could remember my credit card number. That one would be useful, at least.
I usually have one that's memorized. I don't know all of them, and I know the last four digits of the one for work, so I can go, yep, that was the work one, because they always show it on the receipt as ************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************ I can tell the two apart, so I can go, that one's mine, that one's work. But we have been rambling on for about 24 minutes, and it just happens.
Oh, I thought these were supposed to be short.
Well, sometimes they are. We got off of Audio Boo, which was 3 minutes, and Auphonic last year is now charging money. I'm too cheap, so I just go with Dropbox and hit record and go, and then it shows up in my Dropbox, and then I'll post it up to the internet in about 5 minutes. So thank you very much, Julie.
Thank you.
Good luck at school.
Thank you very much.
And if you want to get in touch with Julie, you can contact me. I'm still her dad. She has a boyfriend. He's big and mean.
Yeah, right.
I didn't say ugly. You can find me at chuckchat.com. That's where the podcast is. You can find links to all the other stuff there as well. Google+, Facebook. Join the Facebook group if you want. The Dog Days of Podcasting, that's where a lot of the discussions between the shows and about the shows is going on. If you haven't done so already, it's a lot of fun over there. Facebook, Dog Days of Podcasting group. There's a Dog Days of Podcasting page, which Craig created, but I don't think it's publicly accessible or nobody's using it for whatever reason. So, yes, thank you, Facebook, for making the world ever so confusing. You can also find all the Dog Days shows over at dogdaysofpodcasting.com and subscribe to the master feed so you don't have to get each one of these individually. I, for one, will be going well into September, as I mentioned last night, through the move, and maybe even record a few shows from the new studio. So until next time, thank you for listening, and I mean it this time. And Julie, will you give me the sign-off?
101.